We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavi ben Menachem Shem Chav Yaakov b'Pirchus Eliyahu. We are in Krisus, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. Al Eilu Chayavin Al Zidonim Kares Val Shigigasam Chata. So we had the list of 36 different averus for which a person chayv kares. So the Mishnah is here to tell us that for those averos that we speak of, if you do them b'shogeg, you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas. Now, how do we know that? That's based on the pasuk vim in Vayikra Perek Dalet vim nefesh achas techeta bishgaga ba'asosa achatz mimitzvos Hashem asher lo teosena. So that says, when are you chayv a karmen chatos? If you do bishogeg unintentionally something which is a negative commandment. Now, that already excludes Mila and Karban Pesach. Those are positive commandments, so those would not be included in Karban Chatas. But reading the Pasuk simply, it sounds like any one of the mitzvos, any one of the negative commandments, the 365 negative commandments, Achas mi mitzvos, Hashem asher lo teosena, how do I know that that refers to that when you have Karban Chatas, only when the Avera is something for which if you did b'mezid, to be chayv kares. So that we have to move to Bamidbar. Bamidbar Perek Tezvav, where we're speaking about Avodah Zara specifically. Now, Avodah Zara is an Avera for which person's chayv kares. It was on the list. And there it says, Torah achas yelachem lo'oseh bishgaga. One law should be for you, for the one who makes the mistake. And this is something where you do bishogeg. So therefore, the chatas, karban is only brought for averos that are similar to Avodah Zara, where there's going to be a kares punishment, and that's all. So that becomes the source, the model really for all cases for which a person's chayv karban chatas. Now that's where you know you did the avera. You just don't know. That's where you did the avera, but you did a bishog. I mean, you know you did something wrong, but you were unaware that that was prohibited. But what about va'al lo hodas shalom? What about where you really don't know if you did the avera at all? Then asham toler. Then you bring the asham toler, which mentioned in the past, the guilt offering, which protects a person. It suspends until a person either finds out he didn't do the avera, or he finds out that he definitely did with certainty. Therefore, then it would be chayv karban chatas. What's a case of this? The Bartuner gives us a couple of examples. Kagon shnei zaysim echad shel chelav echad shel shlumin. You have both of the items in front of you, the mutter item and the prohibited item. Chelav chayv kares is the fat from the back of the animal. A shuman is a fat which is perfectly permitted to eat. So achal achad mehem, you ate one of them. Any odeh eizam mehem achal, but you're not sure from which you ate. Did you eat from the chelav, ate from the shuman? So that's where you have an Hashem Talar, because you're really not true. That's the suffix. Or ishto va'achoso imo b'mita. A person's wife and his sister are in the same bed. Ba'al achas mehem, he has beer with one of them. V'neodea aleze mehem ba. So that's another example where both are there. The mutter and usher items are in front of you. It's possible you were in violation of Isser Kare. It's possible you did absolutely nothing wrong. So that's where a person is chayv an Hashem Talar. Bartuner explains, what is it? Do shetole umegin alav min ha'esurin. It suspends and it actually protects you from any punishment, from any mechaper, but doesn't serve for any atonement. Shemnodai lav achar kach bever shechati. Find out and know for certain that you sin, mevi chatas kuvo. Then you have to bring the permanent carbon chatas. That's what we call the permanent carbon chatas. We call it a chatas kavua, as opposed to, let's say, the carbon olev yored, which we've mentioned in the past, the maseches shvuos, where it depends on your financial status, which we'll actually get to right now. Chutz ben ametame mikdash v'kadoshav. What's an example of someone who may be in a suffix, not sure if they did the avera, where they don't bring an asham tali? That's where a person is in the category of mitame mikdash v'kadoshav. What does that mean? Either enter the Beis HaMikdash when he's tame, possibly, or he ate karbanos when he was tame. So such a person, if he did it, if he was in violation of these, so such a person is, if he did it b'shogeg, and he did it, he's chayv a karban olav yored. But if he did it b'mezid, obviously he's chayv kares. But there, since b'shogeg, you're not chayv a chatas kavua, you're not chayv the regular karban chatas, but rather it depends on your financial status. You have enough money, you buy a keves, if not birds, if not a mincha offering. So says Divur Rabbi Meir, if you have a case where you're in the category, you're not sure if, maybe I was tummy when I walked into the Beis HaMikdash, maybe I wasn't. was it? Maybe this wasn't the Beis HaMikdash at all. I don't really remember. Or he's not sure if he was tummy when he ate karbanos. Then, since if you did a bishogeg, it's a karban olav yored, if it's a suffek, you don't bring a karban, you don't bring an asham tali at all. Divrei Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omer, the chachamim say, they say, af ha-megadeth. Now the Chachamim don't sound like they're talking about the same thing. What's Hamagav? The Megadif is one who blasphemes Hashem. So we'll discuss that a little bit later, the specifics that we had a little bit in Sanhedrin as well. Megadif is a case where you're not chayv a karban chatas, say the Chachamim. Why should Amar? And this is the pasuk we quoted before. Torah achas yelachem laoseh bishkaga, where you do a maise bishkaga. Yatsa megadef, that excludes a megadef, she do a maise. It's not doing a maise. Speaking, speech, is not a maise. And therefore, they or Chachamim hold that the megadef is excluded from a karban chatas. Now, reading the Mishnah simply, it sounds like it's apples and oranges. Rabbi Meir is telling you under what circumstances you're not having Hashem tali, where there's a suffix. Mikdash Tov Kadoshav, because that's an Olev Yoreh. But the Chachamim are telling you that a Megadeth is not Chayv Karban Chatas. We weren't talking about a Karban Chatas. We were talking about an Asham Tali. So what are the Chachamim coming to say? So in fact, the Gemara Dav Zayin Amar Aleph says the Chachamim were not responding to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim are saying something else. They're actually responding to the fact that in the first Mishnah we listed on one of the Chiyuv Ekares was the Baal Ov. This is the necromancer. This is the person who's able to bring up the dead and speak, have the and the speech from the dead person speaks through the voice emanates from the armpit of this of the Baal Ov. We know the Baal Asov story when Shaul had the Baal Asov bring up Shmuel from the dead. So that is on that list. But interestingly, the word, the other form of that type of sorcery, which is Yidoni, which is written in the Torah all the time. Torah always writes Ov and Yidoni together. What's the Yidoni? This is where there's a bone of a particular certain type of creature that is placed, that when you put the bone in your mouth, so then it automatically is the person is able to speak the future. So here, that involves the Baal Ov. The first one involves some type of, there are ma'asim, there are actions that are involved in order to bring up the dead. But the Yidoni who speaks, is only speaking. So therefore, why is Yidoni omitted from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah? Because yeah, there is a Chiyuv Kares, but there's not going to be a Chiyuv Chatzis B'Shogeg, because there's no action, there's no ma'asim, pasuk says, la'oseh bishkaga. Come the Chachamim to say, and that's in fact what else should be added to the list. Not only the Yidoni is exempt from a karban chatas because he only uses his voice, so too the one who blasphemes is also going to be the megadeth. Also, since he's not doing a maisa, also is not chayev a karban chatas. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Yesh mivios karban v'neachal, v'yesh mivios v'eino neachal, v'yesh she'eino mivios at all. So what are we talking about? There are those who bring a carbon and it's eaten, some bring and it's not eaten, some don't bring a carbon at all. So here we're speaking about a woman who has a miscarriage. It could be that the miscarriage may be in category number one, which is there's no doubt that it has the status of a birth. There was a trial that was completely formed. Unfortunately, the child was not viable. But nonetheless, there's no doubt there's a complete trial there. That woman certainly has to bring the same the karbanos that a woman who has to bring after childbirth. The Torah describes the karbanos one must bring after childbirth. After a miscarriage, those same karbanos are brought. What are those karbanos? So a woman who gives birth has to bring a karban chatas and an ola. If she can afford it, she brings a sheep for an ola and a bird for a chatas. If she can't afford the sheep, she can bring two birds, one for a chatas, one for an ola. So category number one, no doubt, that type of miscarriage, she has to bring it like a regular birth. Then you have another possibility where there are many criteria needed for a birth. This is none of those. And we'll see those in the Mishnah as well. She doesn't bring any karbanos. So that's where she would bring. So one category is yesh mevios karban v'neachal, where the karbanos are brought and they are eaten. And the third category was v'yesh she'enon mevios, you don't bring karbanos at all. And then you have the middle category, or the last category, which in the Mishnah has it in the middle, the Eish Mevios, the Eino Nechal, where the Karbanos are brought, it's questionable. We're not sure. Is this a miscarriage where we consider this like childbirth, and she therefore has to bring in Karbanos, or maybe not? There's a suffix. So what do? She brings the Karbanos, but they are not going to be eaten. So that's what the Mishnah means. The Eish Mevios, Karban Nechal, they bring the Karban, and it can be eaten. The Eish Mevios, the Eino Nechal, that's a suffix. They bring the Karban, can be eaten. The Eish and Mevios, at all, because the miscarriage is a very early miscarriage, and it's not considered childbirth at all. So we begin. Elam Mevios, Karban Nechal. So this is the first category. This is where a woman has, this is a full miscarriage. This, in fact, is subject to a machlokas, Rabbi Meir the Chachamim. How so? Hamapeles kimin behema chayav of diver Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a woman who aborts, even though it doesn't look like a human being, looks like an animal, chaya, an oaf, rather than a human baby, nonetheless, that qualifies as that she's a yoledes, that she has given birth, and therefore she has to bring the karbanos, and the karbanos can be eaten. What's that based on? So the Bartanur explains, Hovil v'nemra b'hen yitzira kadim, the language of yitzira, of forming, is mentioned in the Torah regarding animals, just like humans. And therefore, you or she would be chayv to be in the karbanos in these circumstances as well. Notice that there's nothing about dugim on this list because we don't have the language of yitzira. Vayitzer is not used with respect to fish, and that's why only behema chayav oaf. But v'chachamim omim, we follow v'chachamim, the majority opinion, ad sheyehebo mitzuras adam. A woman is not chayv to bring the karbanos of birth, of childbirth, unless she aborted a fetus that actually has a human form, therefore it's considered a human birth, and only there is she chayv to bring those karbanos. What's considered tsuras adam? The basic facial features have to look like a human. Most of them have to look like a human. Some claim that if only one side of the face looks like a human, that's sufficient. And nowadays, anyway, there are no karbanos. So we assume that a woman is considered tamea, even if the fetus looks like an animal, even though we usually follow the chachamim. Today, because we don't have an issue of karbanos anyway, we'll be strict and assume the woman is tamea, even if she gives birth to something that has a tsura of a behema chayav oaf. Then the Mishnah says, what? Hamapeles sandal. We've had this in the past. What is the sandal? So the Bar Tanur, I'll quote the second opinion first. Rabbi Osai Pirishu, he says, my Rebbeim explained, what's a sandal? A sandal? Shechatichas basar ha'asuya ketura sandal. It is some type of flesh, looks like a sandal, or regila lavo im havlad. And that is, that normally comes along with the child. What does that mean? So we're speaking about something that doesn't look like a human being. It doesn't even look like an animal. It has no features at all. It's like a bull's tongue, the Mefarshim explain. And this is often, it looks like a stand-up because it's very flat, and sometimes accompanies a fetus as well. So here, we have no evidence that there was a fetus, but nonetheless, we assume that if this is here, there must have been a fetus, and therefore, Hamapeles Sandal will be on the list, of a carbon where a carbon is brought and the carbon can be eaten. Others claim that a sandal is a misshapen fetus and it looks like a type of fish, which is very flat. Either way, brings a carbon and nechal, the assumption is that is a fetus. Oshilia. Shilya, the placenta, the amniotic sac, and we assume even though you don't see your child in it, we assume ain shilya below vlad. We've had that already. We assume that even though I don't see a fetus, it must have been there. Maybe it became dissolved. So therefore, she certainly has to bring a carbon, and that carbon can be eaten. Now, this may explain also this sandal, because we said, what, if sandal looks like a fish, looks like a flat fish or something, why should that be based on the halacha before? Even Rabbi Meir holds that's not considered a vlad, so not considered a birth. Nonetheless, here we assume that there may be, that because this sandal, although it's not human form really, we assume that there must have been a fetus in there somewhere. Why was it flat? Because there was some impact to the mother's body. Maybe there were twins and one impacted the other, and now it looked like a sandal. So therefore, that also means there must have been a vlad, and same thing with a shilya, and that's why you bring a karban and it's eaten. Ushvir merukam. Shvir merukam is where it's also flesh. Merukam means it's like fashion, merukam, like embroidered literally. So this is where we have something that looks like an oval shape, though you see the formation of the limbs already, therefore that's considered that as human form. Shvir Merukam is also, brings the Karmon Nezidin. V'hayotzei mechutach. And you have, let's say, a case where the baby had to be extracted. It had to be cut, unfortunately, cut into different parts. But nonetheless, there's no doubt you could tell that there was a human being there. V'chein shifcha she'ipila. And this applies as well to a shifcha. This is a non-Jewish slave woman, a maidservant, who is also, the halachos of childbirth applied to her as well. So therefore, if she has any of these types of miscarriage, she also has to be in karbanos. Why do I need a mishnah to teach me that? After all, don't we assume that both in Eved Kanani and Shifcha Kananis have the halachos like a woman in the halacha. So the answer is no. I would have thought maybe she should not be obligated in any mitzvah that doesn't apply to an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani is not a woman, can't give birth. So maybe the laws of giving birth would not apply. Only when you have laws that could equally apply to the Eved Kanani and the Shifcha Kananis do we say they follow the halachos like women. Apart from his Hazman Grama, Achayiv and all the Losases, except three. So that would be true. But maybe the laws of childbirth do not apply. That's why the Mishnah tells me no, Shifcha Sheipila also brings Mevia, carbon, v'nechal, those are all on that list of when you bring a carbon and the carbon can be eaten. These are all considered births of a human being.